Hi, Angie. This is Rick Massimo from WTOP.
Hi.
I believe this was the time we were set up to talk. That passed.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry. Oh, okay. It's Elvis week and everything's going crazy.
I get that. I guess for starters, yeah, it is Elvis week. So what?
Yes, it is.
What exactly have you got going? I mean, I've seen the website, but like, what are some of the new things that are going on this week?
Well, this is the 40th anniversary of Elvis's passing, so this Elvis week is expected to be the biggest one ever. So we have masses of people that are headed to Memphis to celebrate the life and legacy of Elvis. Not only do we have tons of events starting on Friday and running through August the 19th, but we also have our new visitors complex and exhibition spaces opened, Elvis Presley's Memphis, which we opened back in March. So this will be a lot of the fans' first time getting a glimpse at our new visitors experience. So that's really exciting. And, getting all of those exhibits in shape for Elvis Week. That's what we've been doing over the past couple of weeks, making sure that everything was ready for the thousands of fans that are headed this way.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you, I mean, you know, I was 12 when Elvis passed. And so, you know, I certainly see that. I know that he's a great artist, but I see people in these pictures going to Graceland who were not even close to being born when he passed. What is it about Elvis that has made it such an enduring phenomenon?
You know, the unique thing about Elvis is that even though he has been gone for 40 years, he continues to cross generations and to speak to people just like he did back in the 1950s. It's kind of ironic that somebody's legacy could last that long. And I think it's because of just his artistry and when Elvis is, even if you're watching him on TV or on a video screen, it's just the presence about him and the music. And you can see that he was truly given his soul to the artistry of being Elvis. And I think that's what still connects and resonates with people. It's like he's singing just for them, even though it might have been filmed back in 1968, even still today when new kids are discovering Elvis in all different kinds of ways. The unique thing about the Elvis fandom is that, of course, back in the 50s and 60s and even in the early 80s, it was a lot of my mom was an Elvis fan or my grandma was an Elvis fan, and it was kind of a generational thing. It was passed down from generation to generation. But nowadays, with the evolution of technology, we have a whole new fan base that's finding Elvis in all kinds of ways. Elvis, the songs are, you know, in TV commercials, and they're in movies, and it's just them hearing it, you know, in a pulp culture kind of way that they're drawn to it. And then they, you know, they get sucked into this lovely world of Elvis, and they find out who he was, and or it could be one of the stars of today singing an Elvis song, or, you know, saying, yeah, you know, Elvis was this cool dude, and then it's like all of a sudden they're like, oh, so-and-so likes Elvis. Who is this Elvis guy? Let me do some research on him. And it's just, he's just so captivating. And even today, even 40 years after his passing, he still has that it factor that made him who he was.
Mm. I was going to say, I mean, because there are a lot of great artists who passed 40 years ago who don't inspire this kind of level of multi-generational devotion. Yeah.
Yes, I totally agree. It's just something. There's just something about him, and I think also, you know, the other thing that really keeps him in pulp culture is Graceland and having a place to come visit, a place to come and see where he lived and, you know, learn about his career and see the gold records and jumpsuits and all the videos. And I think that that also adds another element where a lot of the artists who passed, great artists who passed away 40 plus years ago, they don't have that physical place that people can go to and go, oh, yes, this is, you know, where I'm going to go see, you know, Jimi Hendrix beginning or things like that. It's like Graceland is this physical embodiment of who Elvis was.
Mm-hmm. And that didn't, that didn't happen by accident. That was, a conscious decision on the part of the Presley family and the people around them, right?
Yes, it really was. I mean, back after Elvis's passing, the estate and it was left to three people. It's his dad, his mom, his grandmother, Minnie Mae, and Lisa. And then when Vernon passed away, he actually named Priscilla as executor of the estate on Lisa's behalf because she was still 10, 11 years old at the time. And it was in the early 80s that Priscilla was faced with the question, what do you do with Graceland? Do we open it up for tours? Do we sell it and pocket the money so that Lisa will have some sort of inheritance in 20 years? And it was, you know, her guts and her business mind and, you know, her leadership that really was the pioneer of what Graceland became.
Yeah. Do you think there was, a sense of, not just from a commercial financial standpoint, but it seems like there was a sense of, you know, because I know kind of the image of Elvis by the time he had passed, and I feel like there was a sense of like, no, we want to remind people what Elvis was and that he was a great artist, and I don't know, do you see that as having been a factor?
It took years to get the image of what Elvis was when he passed to kind of get over that and go back to who he was as an artist. It was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that went into that because it was really a focus of the company to preserve his legacy and to remind people why he was important, why he changed the world, why he was such a force to be reckoned with back in the 50s and 60s. It wasn't about the last couple years of his life. There was so much more to this story than just that. Just like a lot of artists, there's so much more to their story than the way that they passed or things like that. And so it was a lot of hard work and a lot of patience. And it all has kind of, you know, come to fruition. It's like now Elvis is recognized for his artistry and for who he was and how he changed pop culture, not only in the 50s, but all the way till present day Vegas. Las Vegas today is the way that it is because Elvis set up residency there back in 1969. He was one of the first artists that actually started a kind of in residency program at the Hilton, and people actually flocked to Vegas to see him perform. Nowadays, everyone does it. You've got Celine and you've got Elton John. It's like the thing to do in Vegas. Well, Elvis was the first artist to take it to that next level. So you could still see his influence all through pop culture.
Yeah, I mean, there had been residencies in Vegas before, but Elvis was kind of the longest one, yeah?
Yeah, Elvis was the longest one, but he also was the one that was most substantial where, I mean, you know, thousands of people would flock to Vegas because Elvis was there.
Yeah.
The other residencies that were taking place, you know, like with the Rat Pack and Sinatra, it's like you knew they were there, and if you happened to be in Vegas, great, you can go see them, but it wasn't a pilgrimage. Whenever Elvis would go to Las Vegas twice a year, I mean, hotels would sell out. He would be there for 4 weeks, and, you know, it's like the artists that were there before were selling, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 tickets a week per show or whatever, and Elvis was doing 3 or 4 times that number.
Mm-hmm.
And the city would just come to life when he was there. So it was a whole new way of looking at Vegas. And it's really more what people do now. It's like people will go to Vegas when they know that Celine is at residency at Caesars or Elton John's in residency at Caesars, instead of all of that being, oh, yeah, they're here while I'm here, like it was when the Rat Pack was there. It was just kind of, it's just a whole different vibe about it.
Right. And he was also, as far as I know, the first sort of rock artist or post post-rock, first artist after the dawn of rock and roll to do that, yeah?
Yes, he was. Yes, he really was the first one to do it. I mean, everybody else would go in for one or two shows just like they were doing anywhere else. Elvis was the first one really to set up residency and change the way Vegas is today.
Mm. And he said, and it wasn't just like his regular, was it or wasn't it just like his regular concerts, or did he work up something special whenever he was in Vegas?
Vegas was always, it was kind of like the starting point for the next tour. So it's like when any artist is going out on tour, it's like their first couple of shows, they're always kind of tweaking him and they're making him a little special because these are, you know, I'm going to be on tour for, you know, 6 months or whatever. And so Vegas was always a very unique place to go see Elvis because he would try out new songs that would or may not make the tour, may not make the song list for the rest of the tour. He would try out new jumpsuits there, you know, see which ones he liked and which ones he didn't like. You know, he was more comfortable there, and there was always, you know, something going on. Like there could be a special entertainer like Tom Jones sitting in the audience that, you know, Elvis would talk to from a stage and stuff like that. So it was a very more relaxed Elvis because it was very much like it was his home stage versus him flying in and flying out from city to city. But it really, Vegas was the place that Elvis would be able to kind of form whatever the next tour's show was going to be.
Okay. Now, you part of the Elvis Week events, I know, is a showcase of Elvis tribute artists.
Yes.
What is the? I mean, again, this is another example of something that Elvis and the Elvis legend has that other artists, even though they're great artists, they don't have. What do you think is behind that?
You know, the tribute artist, they're a unique group of people who do it for the love of Elvis, for the love of the music. I mean, tribute artists were around during Elvis's lifetime.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's kind of like, you know, that old saying, the most sincere form of flattery is impersonation, you know. So it was like, you know, and it's still what introduces people to his legacy today. I mean, there could be events and things going on all over the country, all different times of year, and it's like, oh, they'll have an Elvis tribute artist there, and it will create new fans for Graceland because it's just another mechanism of getting to what Elvis was about, his showmanship and the music. It's not about who's performing it. It's about, you know, what the show's about. And it's, you know, it's great. They've been around forever. And, yeah, we do have the official Ultimate Elvis Tribute Artist Contest here in Memphis. This is actually our 10th year of doing that. So the best Elvis tribute artists from around the world are all coming to Memphis. Mm-hmm. And we'll crown the 10th annual one this year. So it's going to be quite fun.
What do you look for in an Elvis tribute artist? Because, you know, some of these tribute artists I see on video, I mean, they don't look like Elvis and they don't much sound like Elvis, but people still love them. And it's
yeah, the funny thing about the tribute artist is, and this is something that was said a long time ago, it was like very few of the tribute artists look like Elvis, but they all look like each other.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, you know, but the best thing, or the one thing that you would look in for an Elvis tribute artist, is someone who is doing it for the legacy, someone who is giving it their all the same way Elvis gave it his all every show, and it all continues to be in honor and in tribute of this amazing man and this legacy that they left behind.
Yeah.
It's not as much as, oh my gosh, he looks just like Elvis, or oh my gosh, did you hear that? He sounds just like Elvis. It's all about a feeling and an emotion that Elvis would give people during his shows that these tribute artists continue to give people today. And so personally, I don't, you know, if I'm going to an Elvis tribute show and I know, okay, this is the next thing he's going to do because he's literally copying every step that Elvis does, it doesn't mean as much as if it's somebody who really is, you know, making it their own, mm-hmm. but still honoring the legacy.
Yeah. I was going to say, I mean, I think that, you know, I mean, I know you can't, I don't know if you can speculate, but like, why I guess to come at the question another way, why someone would want to be an Elvis tribute artist as opposed to, you know, a Chuck Berry tribute artist or a Beatles tribute, the Beatles.
Yeah,
tribute
it's
artist.
Still, I really think, I mean, from meeting a lot of these guys and listening to them talk over the years, it starts as they're fans.
Yep.
They're fans of the music. They're fans of the man. And Elvis has touched their lives in a way that this is how they want to pay tribute to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not saying that Chuck Berry doesn't have fans that have touched, that he's touched their lives or the Beatles. It's just that there's just this different thing about Elvis, and it's hard to put your finger on. It's, you know, everyone says he had the it factor.
Mm.
And he did. And it's just hard to describe what the it factor is. Is it the charming smile? Is it the glimmer in his eyes? Is it his voice? Is it his sense of style? Is it the fact that he, you know, at the height of his career, he left everything behind and served in the U.S. Army? Or is it the fact that he broke doors open for entertainers of all colors to be played on radio stations instead of being segregated the way that the music was back in the 50s? You know, it's really hard to, he did so much, and he means so much. Everybody has a different way or a different thing about Elvis that appeals to them. And I think that's what makes the legacy so unique and makes him so unique, is the fact that he's not just one thing to everybody. There's so many different aspects to Elvis's life and his career and who he was that he's a million different things to a million different people. And very few people, if you ask them what it is about Elvis, will they give you the exact same answer.
Mm. All right. Well, thank you very much. And good luck with the rest of Elvis week. Is there a section on the website of photos I could, I can download?
There's going to be Elvis Week photo updates, and we also have a blogger who's going to be here, and there's going to be lots of Elvis. Every day the website will have an Elvis Week update.
Right.
Well, so if you go to Graceland.com, and then I think it's under events, it will say Elvis Week, and we'll be constantly updating that all week as events happen and things like that.
Okay, and we can use those photos?
Yes. Is there anything that we put out, you guys can use.
Okay. Is there anything there now? Because I know that we're looking to run this before the anniversary.
I'm not sure if there's anything up there right now, but Libby, who you were in contact with to set up this interview,
mm-hmm.
She could send you whatever Elvis Week photos they already have.
Okay, great. All right, thanks so much. I'll email you if there's something else, but I appreciate this.
All right, no problem, Rick.
All right, thank you.